Let's open God's Word this morning. I want us to look at Proverbs. In fact, I went ahead and put at the top of your life point outline, if you pull it out of your Sunday bulletin, I went ahead and just listed these verses and had them printed out for you so there wouldn't be a lot of page turning and everybody be right where we need to be together. And so let me just start there. And we're talking today because this is Graduate Sunday. Of course, it's a special day in the life of our church family when we're recognizing these high school students. And so we're going to be talking about with them, and of course I'm having to apply this to all three services as well. And it's good for us to do that because we have so many young people, which we already know, that are coming up through the ranks. We have this burgeoning number of young people in our children's ministry that are going to be moving up and moving through and getting into high school and then graduating, going out into the world. And so many of them are focused on getting an education, which is really, really fantastic. I'm really grateful for that. But the question is, what does it really mean to be educated? What does it really mean to get an education? Is college, is university, is graduate school really in and of itself what educates us? Is that really what does it? What is it above all else that we must know when we get out? What is it that we hope and pray will be in the hearts of these graduates that we have seen with so much hope, so much life in them? What is the most needful thing for them? Because they're part of our family. They're part of our church family. And so as spiritual fathers and mothers, we bear a responsibility to pray for them and invest in them. And so I want us to look this morning at the book of Proverbs. In fact, Lord willing, I won't be preaching every Sunday in the summer. I'll be taking off some and kind of kicking back and doing some reading and other things. But I want to focus on wisdom during the summer months. And I felt it was great to just start that today. And so we'll be hitting it here and there. But there are three places, Proverbs 8:11, 4:7, and 9:12, that I think are just important. And they're at the top of your life point outline. Let me read, let's begin Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. In other words, what God is saying is, and to especially to these seniors, and then to you and me as well, nothing else you and I could ever want is as valuable in life, God says, than wisdom. God says, our Creator says, nothing can compare or is as valuable as wisdom. Chapter 4, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And so what God says is getting wisdom is the most important thing we can do. And then lastly, chapter 9, verse 12. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you alone will bear it. In other words, if you gain wisdom, if you go after wisdom, you're the one who benefits from it. It'll benefit you. But if you scorn wisdom, if you don't seek after it, if you don't go after it, then you will be the one who will suffer in life. Because God is saying the quality of life that you and I are able to extract from these short days that we're on earth comes through you and I living in wisdom. Wisdom affects the quality of our life. And so the most important thing, Scripture says, in all your learning, get wisdom. So that's what we want to put in the heart and into the mind, into the thought of these young people this morning when they gather during our third worship hour. And the Bible says that wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, applies to everything in my life and your life, everything. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your ear to understanding. Understanding is another synonym for wisdom. Cry for discernment. Lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Now, one thing is interesting. In the book of Job, chapter 28, verses 1 through 11, Job takes up an interesting topic, and he talks about mining. He talks about going way down into the belly of the earth to pull out of it everything that the earth has for us, like diamonds and gold and silver. And then he says in verses 12 and 13, he says, men do that to find treasure. And then he says this. He says, but nobody can find wisdom that way. You can't find wisdom by digging for it all on your own. Job chapter 28, verse 23, he adds this. He says, God alone understands the way of wisdom. That is why you and I keep trying to remind ourselves week in and week out that if I'm going to find wisdom, I have to make my ear attentive to the Lord God. I have to listen to Him. We have to turn to the Word. Amen? We have to do that. We turn our heart toward the Word. We plead to heaven for discernment. God, grant me wisdom. We lift up our voice for understanding and how to live. You want to know what to pray for? You pray for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Grant me wisdom for my days. Well, out of these three verses, out of our text, there's one truth that stands out, and this is a truth I want you to see in your life point outline. The most important thing you will ever gain is wisdom. That's what God says. The question would be, well, what is that? What is wisdom? Well, in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, the word for wisdom is chacham, and chacham means skill in living. So to be wise is to be skillful in how to live life well. If I am a wise man, if you are a wise man or a wise woman, and you live wisely, life for you will be better. Life for you will not be so painful because you're living with wisdom. And that's the message of the Old Testament. The message of the Old Testament is if you want to pursue something, pursue skillful living. If we're wise in how we talk to our kids and our grandkids, we remind them again and again and again, your life does not consist in you just having a degree at the end of your name. It's great to be able to put your name and MA or PhD or DR or whatever else you want to do it. But that doesn't help you live life well. And there are a lot of people with a lot of degrees at the end of their name that don't know how to live with a woman or with a man. They don't know how to raise up children. And they've got all these degrees and they've got all this learning and life is miserable for them and they go from one family situation to another. So God says if you want to pursue something, pursue skillful living. So our prayer today ought to be, Father, grant me wisdom. God, grant me wisdom from your word. Why, oh God, that I might live life well. Father, I want to avoid pain in my life by your will. I want to live skillfully. And so chasing wisdom is the clarion call of Proverbs. Look at verse 20 in Proverbs 1. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out, "Oh, you naive ones." And we'll talk about naive in a little bit later on. "Oh, you naive ones. Oh, you fools. Oh, you people who lack discernment. Why will you not turn to wisdom?" You know, our honorees today are a group of 21 young men and women. They're going to be sitting here during the third hour in this building that is dedicated to the worship of the Lord God. It is dedicated where His word is revered and His praise is lifted on high. And you guys did a great job of singing this morning, I might add. I enjoyed that myself. But I want to tell you, my hope this morning is that every one of these 21 men and women that are about to leave their homes, they're about to go to college and university campuses, and they're going to be immersed in a, for the most part, an anti-God, anti-Bible environment. And my hope this morning is that they are truly at peace in their souls with the God who formed them in their mother's womb. I hope that every one of these young men and women are saved, but I don't know. And neither do you. We've seen them go into the baptismal waters. We've seen them in student ministry. But they will prove whether or not they're really born again as they leave home and they get out in the world by how they live their lives. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. And that's an ongoing, continual thing. If I am truly born again, you ought to be able to see the evidence that I belong to God all the way through my life. All the way through my life. And if any graduate is truly saved, their life will prove it by how they live their life for God as they leave home. Look at the insight in your outline. The test of a graduate's true faith is about to begin, and it will show itself real or fake as they go off to school. They will prove themselves. If they not only chase after learning and understanding and those things that matter with regard to our created universe, you know, so they can get a job and they can do what they need to do, but they prove themselves that they pursue doing life and relationships biblically. So let me give you three things right quickly. Three of the most important factors of wisdom that we want them to chase after. Number one, we want them to understand that wisdom is the fear of the God. It is the fear of God. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of God, the Bible says, fearing God is true knowledge. It is true understanding. You are highly educated. Listen, you are highly educated for living and for life if you live with a fear of God. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is true understanding. So the Bible says the beginning mark, that is to say, the first qualifier, the most essential element, the controlling principle in wisdom is the knowledge of God. It is the knowledge of the Holy One. And once we come to truly know God, listen, I prove I know God. You prove that you know God. How? We fear God. If I know Him, I fear Him. That's what the Bible says. If I am truly wise, I hold God in deep awe. I hold Him in deep respect. I set Him apart from everything else in my life as special and important and precious. And that's what we want to see in the lives of these young people. Would you agree with that? Moms and dads should not be fearful when their kids go off to college that they're going to start taking a whole bottle of stupid pills. Why do we have to worry about that? if we have taught and trained them right, if we have led them toward the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those of us who are spiritual fathers, parents, pastors, Bible teachers, others who have had influence in the lives of these young adults, we are to teach the youth we guide to fear the Lord. I don't know how much you've ever thought about this. Let me just give you a little perusal here through Scripture. Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In other words, assurance for living. You're more assured of living when you walk in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 1:29. Because they did not choose the fear of the Lord, verse 26, God says, I will laugh when calamity comes on them. Verse 28, when they call on me, I will not answer. Why? Because you did not fear me. You did not honor me. You did not follow me. Chapter 3, verse 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs your days. Why is this more and more important? Look at the truth in your outline. We live in a climate where God is absolutely rejected. And as I have a grandson that's going off, and I've got grandkids coming up. I told everybody, you know, we have 12 grandkids. We don't have any great grands yet. I'm just trying to get myself wrapped around these 12. So the first one's graduating high school, and then that starts it. And we've got one every year. Texas, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma. I may not be here a lot. But the thing about it is, as they get out of the house, Joel and Mia's house and Kristen and Aaron's house, as they get out and they're going out to pursue education, higher education, whatever it is that they're going to be doing, as our kids get on university campuses, you and I need to understand, this is why we need to be putting our kids, those campuses are populated by those who are into materialistic, naturalistic, evolutionary atheism. They want nothing. The average campus wants nothing to do with God. They don't want God in the creation of our planet, our solar system. That's why they teach evolution. They don't want God in their morality. They don't want God anywhere in their world. So they don't fear God. They have no awe for God. They have no respect for the Lord. So having no true wisdom, they naturally catapult themselves and everybody else who follows them into abject confusion and tragedy and judgment from heaven. We are to have taught our graduates, to have taught our kids and these succeeding generations that are coming up through the grades to respect God, to fear Him, to have an awe of God, to worship Him. And if there is in these graduates a fear and a respect for God, then they will have a respect for His Word. And they will base their life on His Word. Psalm 138, verse 2. God has exalted His Word as high as His own name. What does that mean? It means you cannot respect God if you don't respect His Word. If you don't have a love for the Word, you don't have a love for God. You don't respect God if you don't obey His Word. If you don't know it, if you don't love it, if you don't follow it. To respect God is to respect His law. It is to respect His power. It is to respect His authority. It is to respect His displeasure with sin in my life or your life. It is to respect His right to chasten me. It is to respect His right, therefore, to judge me. God has that right. Why? Because He's God. Jesus said in John chapter 4, we are to worship God in truth. And that means we worship God as God is, not like we want Him to be. What is God like? The only way I know what God is like is through the Word. Where God is feared, sin will be feared. That's why I pray for my grandson that in the time I've been around him in his life, he will have a fear of sin because he has a fear of God. Where there is no fear of sin, it is because there is no fear of God. You show me a graduate who hates sin, and I'll show you a graduate who has a true fear of the Lord. You show me a graduate, conversely, who goes from one sin to another and lives in debauchery during the course of his days or her days during the week, and yet they come to worship on Sunday, and I will show you a graduate who has no respect for God and no fear of what God can do in the life of a sinner. How you view God is the most controlling influence in your life. How you view Him. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, that He rules everything and that He brings to pass all His own purposes and is in control of everything, you don't doubt or fear when your little world starts to seemingly not be so good. Why? Because you know God is in control. Your view of God gives you life perspective. So look at the truth in your outline. The most crucial lesson of Proverbs is know God, love God, honor God, fear God. This is the beginning of true life. See, to be wise is to fear the Almighty and God's ability to hold us accountable, to fear His ability to judge, to fear His ability to chasten, and to condemn. And if there's anything I want my grandkids having, it is what I have in my heart, and that is a reverential fear of God. He loves me. He cares for me. He will never leave me nor forsake me, but He will discipline me in my sin. Amen? And I want every graduate to live that. Everyone. Which brings me to number two, wisdom is guarding the mind. It's guarding the mind. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. And his teaching here, the word of God, the truth of God. Do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. But But do not let kindness and truth leave you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so here's the truth, don't you know? Hold on to truth in all that you do. And so what God is saying to our graduates, what do we want them to remember as they leave? God is saying, here's the truth. Hold on to truth. Hold to truth in everything that you do. Don't let anything steal truth from your mind. Now, it talks about the heart, but the Hebrew means, when it says heart, it means mind. The Old Testament, remember, it says, as a man thinks in his, what? Heart, so is he. Well, you don't think, I don't think in this organ pumping in my chest, right? That's not where my thinking happens. That happens in my mind, right? The brain in my head. So the Hebrew heart refers to the mind. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 23. Watch over your heart, your mind, with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Literally, God is saying, guard your mind, for out of it comes your conduct. What is going on between your ears determines how you live your lives. So what I want to say to these kids, what I want to say to my grandson is, don't let any professor, any friend, any relative, any classmate, any movie pollute your mind against God. The truth is here, how you think is going to determine how you live. How you think determines how you live. So you be careful, graduates, what you put into your mind. And that's for you and me. Be careful what you watch at the movies. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you expose your mind to. The ideologies of professors whose classes are required for my grandson, for your kids. I want to tell him, you be discerning. Watch, listen for damnable heresies. And when you hear it, you reject it. You reject it in your mind. God doesn't want you living the life of a naive person. a simpleton. So let me talk about that for a minute. Look at Proverbs 1, verse 22. It talks about simpletons. It talks about naive people who live ignorant days and lives. And the Hebrew for simple, what is a simple person? In the Hebrew, a simple person is a person who has a mind that is an open door. You heard people say, I'm just open-minded, right? You heard people say that? Well, I'm not like you. I'm open-minded, as though that's something to be proud of. God says that a simpleton or a naive man is a fool. Why? Because he has the door to his mind open all the time. His mind's like a commode. Everything can come in, and everything can leave. They don't hold on to anything. So here's the definition. A simpleton is someone who has an inability to discriminate. It is the inability to take some things in and to keep other things out. It's like the person who says, I'm an agnostic. You ever heard people say that? I'm an agnostic. And the thing about it is, they act like they're kind of proud of it. You know, it's kind of like, kind of swell their chest up, not realizing the Latin equivalent is ignoramus. You ever heard somebody say, I'm an ignoramus and I'm proud of it? I don't think so. Agnostic simply means I don't know. I'm dumb in this area. You hear people say all the time, well, I have an open mind. You know what the Hebrew response would be? Well, close it. You need to know what to take in and what to keep out. God doesn't want us living all the time with this open mind. I look at three crowds of people every Sunday morning. When I look at you, when I look at the other two, and every time there's such a weight of responsibility that's on me and every man who stands here, we have this responsibility from God to help us help you discern truth from error, to guard all of our souls from naivete, that we're just open-minded, to lead us all away from a mind that has no door. That's what I always want to lead you away from, to help us guard our minds from the influence of things that potentially can take us away from God and His blessing. And so that's what the Lord is saying that a graduate needs. They need to have a mind of the Lord, a mind that is focused on Him. And so then we come lastly, number three, to wisdom is to select companions carefully. Proverbs 1 verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not consent. When sinners entice you to do wrong, God says don't. Look at the truth. Here's the insight. You are responsible. The graduates, you and I, we're responsible for God to put ourselves in relationships that lift us up and do not pull us into sin. I am responsible for that. I am responsible, my grandson, all these other 20 kids, you, everyone here, we're responsible not to put ourselves in a relationship that is going to lead us away from God. Verse 10 through 19 in chapter 1 is one warning after another to not put yourself in with those who go to do evil. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 33? He said, bad company, what? Corrupts good morals. In other words, if I was standing here and somebody was standing there and I reached down my hand to them, is it easier for me to pull them up on the stage or easier for them to pull me off of the stage? For me to go off, right? It's a whole lot easier. Just jerk me down. That's what God is saying. God is saying, this is why we talk about you don't do, we teach our girls, you do not do missionary dating. You do not date a boy who needs Jesus. Ever. Under any circumstances, never. Why? Because he will pull you away from Christ. It's bad company, corrupts good morals. And there's no qualifying for it. It's just that is the way that it is. So if you hang with non-believers, you will do what they do. Proverbs 1 is all about the lure talks about the lure of the excitement, the power, being part of a gang. And that's what happens. You know, you remember it in high school, being in with the in crowd. The thing was, the in crowd was all about drinking and doing a lot of the stuff they shouldn't be doing, for the most part. At least that was the in crowd where I went to school. And God says, when you get around that, he says, run, run, run from them. So let me land the plane here. I want to close with a final word. Proverbs 18, verse 24, if you want to look there. A man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Isn't that a great verse? But if you don't know the Hebrew, you miss the point. The word friend is mentioned twice, but it's two different Hebrew words. They're not the same. A man of many reya comes to ruin, but there is a Ahab who sticks closer than a brother. A man of many reya means a man or woman of a lot of acquaintances. They just run and do this, run and do that. It's all superficial relationships. It's all built on fun. It's nothing focused on the heart, on life, on where we're going, on what we're going to do. It's all about having fun and all that. Reya means acquaintances. But he says, there is an Ahab. There is a loving, loyal, intimate friend that'll be with you through thick and thin. And so God says, if all that my grandson, all that these young people has is a lot of superficial, surface relationships with no future, they are on their way to ruin. Because bad company corrupts good morals. You know what kind of friend you want to have in your life? You want to have a friend who holds you accountable. Huh? Those people you don't want to be around, those people you don't want as a friend, are the people who never ask you hard questions. They never ask you or confront you about the issues of your life that they see that are not really good, that need confronting. What all of us need in life is a hob. We need a friend who is loving. They love us. They care about us. They're an intimate, close friend. They are with us in good times, and they are with us in bad. And they are somebody who will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Why? Because they care about you. And they expect accountability. They'll get up in your grill because they care for you. Superficial friends come and go. They're only here for the fun and for right now, but they won't stick. True friends are the best. They're priceless, and they last a lifetime. So ending thought, here it is. Wisdom is the most important thing. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the fear of God. I live the life I live because I fear Him. Not that I cower before Him, but I fear the discipline of God. I fear a God who will bring me into judgment. Wisdom is a guarded mind. My mind is not open to everything. My mind is discerning. And everything around me from this world, I filter through what the Word says. God is my source. He is my lead. He is my wisdom. And what doesn't align with Him, then I don't want anything to do with it. Wisdom is the fear of God. It is a guarded mind. And wisdom is a friend who is a friend for life. A friend who cares about you, who cares about your soul. So I want us to stand together. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and be dismissed this morning. I want us to pray this morning for our graduates. I hope and pray that you will join me in thinking about them seriously and earnestly that we would pray to the Lord, God, we want to see them do well. We want to see them live a life that 10, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, they're going to be chasing after you. That's what we want, isn't it? We want that. We want to see them living a life for the Lord, living in the fear of God with a guarded mind and with friends around them that are friends indeed. So, Father, thank you this morning for the word. God, thank you for what we've learned. Lord, this speaks to our own heart. We have had cause this morning to think about us and to think about our walk before you. That there is always this need on our part that we will have a reverential fear of you. You are our Father. You love us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You truly care for us. You are long-suffering. You are merciful. But there is a fear in our heart regarding you because you're holy and you will deal with sin. And so, Lord, thank you for teaching us that. We pray also this morning for a guarded mind, that they will think long and hard about the thoughts that come against them, the thoughts that come into their mind, the things that they'll be taught in school. How does that filter, first of all, with the Word of God? And Father, we pray for them, they will not be led astray, that they will not have to go through much pain as you lovingly and as a father draw them back to yourself. We pray that each of them is truly born again. We know, Father, it will be shown whether they are or not by how they live their lives as they leave home. And so, God, we pray that the work we've done will have been real and lasting. May friends be around them who are friends indeed, who have a love for the Lord. May they seek out the kids, the friends who have a love for the Lord, and run with them and chase after you. And we thank you, Father, for this blessed day. Thank you. Be with us as we leave now and go our ways. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God